Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
I was a wandering sheep. I did not love the fold. I did not love my shepherd's voice. I would not be controlled. I was a wayward child. I did not love my home. I did not love my father's voice. I loved afar to roam. That must be the confession of everyone that's going to heaven. That's where God begins with us. As He began with the Colossians, we have studied that and read that. Thankfully, it can change. No more a wandering sheep. I love to be controlled. I love my tender shepherd's voice. I love the peaceful fold. This is after God changes us, saves us in Christ. Today from Colossians chapter 1, the first part of the chapter, many places we have a reference to the gospel. And then in verse 25, Paul states, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which have been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that I may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. For would have you, that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as I have not seen in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance and understanding, to the acknowledgment of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man beguile you with enticing words. Let's pray that we will not be beguiled. Let's pray also that our understanding will be opened to the Word, as the Lord Jesus did with the apostles on the evening of the resurrection. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ. We come giving thanks in His name. We come acknowledging that there is no other way to Thee but through Him, that He alone is the door. And as He tells us in Thy holy word, that no one comes to Thee except by Him. Help us to know it. Help us to make it known. Help the rest of the world to hear it, to believe it, and there might soon be a multitude gathered in who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. We pray, Father, for more laborers to be called to go into all the fields which are white of the harvest, where the laborers are few, both in our own nation and throughout the world, especially to those nations that have had the blessing in the past, but no longer recognize that need from Thee and in Christ. We pray, Father, for that nation in which Christ was born, that they also may know that He is the Messiah, that He is the Promised One, and that He has been born in their land, and the announcement of the angels was true. To you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We pray, Father, that we might know that, as we need to know it, fully, rightly, to Thy glory, and to the glory of Christ, to the good of the church, and then through the church, through the rest of the world, that the church might be made a salt and a light again in our nation and in other nations as well. We pray for the spiritual blessings first. We pray also for the temporal blessings. We give thanks for the many that we have. We pray for the many that are needed, for others especially, the homeless, the hungry, the war-torn lands, the sorrowing, the sick, the injured, the broken homes, the children in those homes. We pray for the schools that they might again teach the truth and not the lie. We pray, Father, for all the needs that there are and those that are suffering. We give thanks for the sunshine and the rain that has fallen. We pray for that which is needed, where there is flood, fire, wind, drought. And we pray, Father, that there might come those blessings where they are not given, through Christ. Amen. As we look again at Paul's letter here to the church at Colossae, the letter as well to us, a word that was written for them, sent to them evidently, but is given to us today, part of the Holy Scriptures, part of the Scriptures that will stay through all eternity, be true, be proved to be true. The Lord Jesus has said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away." And here we have His word as He gives it through the Apostle Paul. We come to the last part of that first chapter, speaking of Christ throughout the chapter, up to that again and again and again and again. Almost all the verses telling us of Christ and what He did, who He is, and we must know all of that to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. We must believe who He is. We must believe what He did. We must believe what He teaches. And we have all of that here. Who He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He is with the Father, the Creator. He is the Savior. Verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. He had taught that church, we don't know through who. Paul evidently did not see them face to face like he did some of the other churches. We read in the second chapter, the first verse, he had a burden for them, but had not seen their face, or they had not seen his in the flesh. But he is here writing to them because of that burden. As we just read, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Earlier in the first chapter, we read verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, and being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That was his prayer. Verse 9, we read, for this cause also, since the day we heard it, heard of their love in the Spirit, heard the results of the word there, he says, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. There he is praying for wisdom to be given by God through the Spirit. And here in the last part of the chapter, verse 28, he is teaching that they might have all wisdom. God gives it both by his Spirit and by the Word. We read that Christ can open their understanding, and also the Word gives understanding. God works both ways. God works many ways, and we must see it all. Sometimes we rest part of the Scripture thinking it's this or that instead of both, and that brings division, that brings disunity, and here Paul wants unity. In the second verse of that second chapter, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. That was his prayer just before he died, four times over, that they might be one, speaking of those who would believe on him through the word of the apostles, that they might be one, even as he and the Father are one, and with the purpose that the world will know that God has sent Christ. The world, part of the church, needs to know it. It's moving away from it, not recognizing Christ as the Son of God, becoming a man, dying, buried, rising again, ascending up to heaven, and will come again. There's people that know much about the Bible that don't seem to believe all of that. They know some history from it, but they do not know the prophecies, they do not know the promises, and many times do not know their sin. Do not become as a little child, listening to what God says of each one of us. And as we sang, I was a wandering sheep. I was that in the church, in the home, in the catechism class, in the Sunday school class, everywhere, until God saved me. A wandering sheep, wandering in doctrine, wandering in worldly ways, wandering in pride, all other than what we have here, what God did to this church. And that's what I needed. I needed to be delivered from the power of darkness and to be translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, as we read it in the 13th verse. And we need prayer one for another, that we will be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We have his will plainly given to us when the Lord Jesus teaches us what we call the Lord's Prayer. Very plain, often repeated, individually, together. Our Father who art in heaven, describing him, where he is. Hallowed be thy name. The only way that it's right to think of that name, to speak of that name. Not to take it in vain, lightly, wrongly, or even worse, in swearing and cursing, but to have it hallowed. and then to want His kingdom to come. If everyone in the church wanted that, truly, honestly, would submit to the Word, submit to one another as He tells us to do, we would be one. What will it take to bring us there? Certainly, it isn't there in sight, what we need. Most people don't even believe it's ever going to happen on earth. Oh, it's going to happen in heaven. Or some say, well, we are one in Christ, even though we're divided in doctrine, divided in practice, openly having divisions, and we still think, well, we are one. To a certain extent, that can be true, but certainly not true in the way that Christ prayed for it, to be one as He and the Father are one. And that the world will see it. The world doesn't see it today, even if there are a number of churches that are divided in doctrine, still all true churches. The world doesn't see it that way as one. It's a reproach. It's a hindrance. And sometimes it's worse. As one man was an unbeliever, grew up as an unbeliever, talking to him about the Lord, he says, all the church did is fight. It kind of stunned me. I thought, what's he talking about? But when you read the history books, you read history of the Reformation, you find, sadly, how true it is. And when you only go to a school and not to church, that's probably all what one might read is about the differences and the divisions, the persecutions, all of that strife that was there. Terrible ways. Terrible ways. Far from what this church was. This was a church that had been affected by the gospel wonderfully. And if there would have been 10 churches surrounding cities like there was at Colossae, having what He said, declared unto us your love in the Spirit, having an answer to the prayer that they did have this wisdom, and now praying further that they would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing and being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. What a wonderful way that that church was taught and was evidently on that path toward what Paul says, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That was Paul's goal. Two ways. One is, as we read earlier, to pray for it, in verse 9. The other is preaching Christ. Never quit preaching Christ. Preach Him to the lost. Preach Him to the saved. Preach Him for justification. Preach Him for sanctification. Preach Him for repentance. Preach Him for faith. Yes, it's true that we have repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's also true, as Peter stated, and as Luke recorded it in the book of Acts, the description that he gave to Christ. He said, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom He slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Both repentance and forgiveness, which comes by faith. We talk about repentance and faith. Sometimes we talk about God's sovereignty and man's responsibility, as if, well, they work together. Not really. Not until Christ gives repentance. Not until He gives forgiveness of sins. In the beginning, when He starts with us, as far as our responsibility is concerned, the fulfillment of it, it's zero. Zero. You who were dead in sins hath He quickened. Paul says that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. When he describes himself to Titus, he says, we were hateful and hating one another. And this church here, he says, who delivered us from the power of darkness. What can be done in the dark? we are to think of evil things, and especially when it's the spiritual darkness. We need to rightly realize it, that Christ is not only the object of our faith, but the author of our faith. It's Him that we live and move and have our being as our Creator, but also as our Redeemer. And Paul is teaching that here when he says, whom we preach Christ. All the different things that he had said before that, throughout this whole chapter. Verse 1, Jesus Christ. Verse 2, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, Christ Jesus. Verse 7, Christ. Verse 13, God's dear Son. Verse 14, redemption through His blood. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God. Verse 16, for by Him are all things created. Verse 17, He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And we could go on with the rest of the verses that refer to Christ and tell us over and over, twice about being saved by the blood. We already mentioned one verse. In the 20th verse we read, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. Not only did He shed His blood, but He reconciles all things unto Himself. And He does it Himself. He brings us, as well as having died for us. When the Lord Jesus was here on earth, He says, all the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Some will think of that as our initial coming, that we will be received, and that's true. But it's also true in never being cast out, always safe from that time on. All the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will not cast out. From that time on, that person is safe, forever safe, in the hand of Christ, the hand of the Father. And this is one way He keeps us safe. Paul says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man. Everyone needs it. Everyone. Preachers, elders, deacons, fathers, mothers, children, everyone. Everyone in all the world. The church and the world need it. Think of the warnings that Christ gave to the seven churches. Five of them He warned strongly. Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Warned that if they didn't repent, He would remove the candlestick. Take away the light. Take away the Holy Spirit. The last church, the seventh one, He warned them if they did not recognize their lukewarmness, their pride, then repent. That's what it was. They need to be warned. Paul warned the church at Corinth, and it made them weep. And here he is warning this church. We warn every man, teaching every man in all wisdom. When Paul went to Corinth, he preached the gospel, he preached Christ, but he also was there a year and 6 months teaching, teaching, teaching. Yes, we need to be taught. We need to be taught true doctrine. We need to be taught the plainness, the simpleness of the gospel, the way of repentance toward God and faith toward Christ. The way of God's holy law by which we can see our guilt, and the way of the gospel by which we can see our guilt being taken away, forgiven. But we need to know that, as Paul said here, that He is the Creator, that He is before all things, that He and He alone is the head of the body, the church, not some man, not this man or that man or the other man. We have too much of that. Too many churches ruled by men. Some people will say, well, this one is the head of the church, or that one. Some go by the name of a man. Their church is named after men, dishonoring to God. And what can those men do? Sometimes we have to ask, what did they do in error? Because when one is of this man and others of that man, it's because of their differences. And there were strong differences all the way back to the Reformation. There were strong differences, sadly, in the Great Awakening. Strong differences, especially in England. When there was George Whitefield preaching and John Wesley preaching. Strong differences, sad differences. And as some would say of the Reformation, it was far from an answer to the prayer of Christ that they might be one. Not only amongst the leaders that had quite nearly the same doctrine, but especially those that would differ quite sharply in doctrine. They were killed, many of them. Many deaths by different elements of the church. And sadly, the church and the state being one. And often the church succumbing to what the state would allow or do. It's far from preaching Christ and Christ alone. The man, his death, and his teaching. You need all three. Neglect any. Deny that Christ is the Son of God. We are Antichrist. Deny the death of Christ. We're in a hopeless situation. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. All your sins will have to be accounted for by you. Not by Christ, if you don't believe he had to die for your sin. Teaching, teaching, teaching. Teaching every man in all wisdom. Yes, the Bible speaks of foolishness. The Bible speaks of those who profess themselves to be wise and became fools. The Lord Jesus even had to say to some who showed sadness over his death, showed love toward him, O fools and slow of heart, not to have believed all that the Scriptures have spoken. Is it any wonder that God says, to this man will I look, him who is poor and of a contrite heart and trembleth at my word? Do we look at this and say, are we taught like Paul did? And if we're our teachers, are we teaching like Paul did, whom we preach Christ and Christ alone? Yes, alone. There is none other name given among men under heaven than the name of Jesus for Savior, one Savior, one way back to God, the only true God. We need to be taught that. And that only then will we be made perfect in Christ. It won't be fully accomplished till the day of judgment, until eternity. But it must be taught now. It must be believed now to God's glory, to your good, and to the good of others that need to learn from us. It's time for the church to be a salt and light again.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.